Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
God-fearing, liberty-loving, Christian nationalist patriots, welcome to Radio Free Redoubt, the weekly podcast. And for our live streaming listeners, thank you for your patience. Some of you have still hung on if you're listening Sunday evening. Apologies for the audio snafu, whatever that was happening. All of our audio was working great all the way up to the stream, and then it was showing nothing going out. And I have no idea why. So little troubleshooting, little tip for your audio in and out. I have one of those audio USB adapters. You plug it into a USB port and it has a headphone out and a microphone in. I plugged that in. It recognized the microphone in. So I plugged it in and started streaming the audio. So I'm glad I had that handy, but it took me quite a while to try that. But anyway, I know a lot of you ham operators out there have those. Those are pretty handy for a little audio in and out. So the USB adapter, that's what I'm using tonight right now. Put it on your list, man. Those things are handy. Okay, tonight we're on the eve of this big total solar eclipse that there is a big to-do about, and I have some thoughts on it. And then I'm going to talk about the Israeli-Iranian conflict, which I think is actually something more significant, at least in the short term. I do believe there could be something to from a Christian perspective, Bible believer. Genesis says that God made the stars, the moon, the sun for times and seasons, which means moedim, not summer, fall, spring, winter, but moedim, appointed times. But for signs, signs of what? Well, there are several biblical examples of that. But particularly this I'm going to talk about tonight. We've talked about on the morning commute what it could mean if we can follow God's patterns for past performance. This could be very significant. We don't know. His ways are higher than our ways. But I think it's something worth paying attention to because, boy, if there was a nation that is ripe for judgment, It's the United States right now, especially under this current, if you want to call them leadership, this coup, this regime that's in place now. Their policies toward Israel, their policies really at war with God and nature, that we're just asking for it. So we'll see. I have some thoughts. I'm going to share on that. I don't think anything's going to happen tomorrow. Although the federal government is warning once again of a very high probability of attacks, terrorist attacks, similar to what Russia saw last week or 2 weeks ago on that symphony or some type of music venue there. And they're in the gates. Because this border is wide open. This regime has facilitated the invasion of our country. So we're in a lot of trouble there. I do have some things to share on the Israeli-Iranian conflict from Amir Sarfati. That has the potential to blow up into, no pun intended, but to really rapidly expand into a beyond regional conflict. And so Israel is on heightened alert right now. And then in segment two, I'm going to have Lady Liberty join me in the studio with some legislative campaign updates. That is kicking off, and that campaign is underway. So there's a lot going on there, but her website is updated, and we'll talk about that in segment two. So first of all, I'm not doing a normal news and commentary. Things have just not been normal around the Redoubt Ranch, the Liberty Ranch for, well, it seems like all of 2024 has been pretty wild ride. So this week I won't be doing a normal news and commentary. I want to discuss what's going on here. So let's talk about the eclipse. First of all, there are tons of YouTube videos now that have been popping up just in the last week. A few guys have put some really good research together from a Christian biblical perspective. And it seems like all the other kind of climbers or clickbait chasers, they're putting it on their YouTube channels and talking about that. But I want to share from the guys who really have done, I think, some really squared away research. And I'm sure Lady Liberty will weigh in on this. And we're going to talk about it tomorrow morning on the morning commute as well. But it wasn't, we have not had two total eclipses cross the United States since the early 1800s. Now, this one in particular, in 2017, I remember seeing that one. I was in southern Idaho with a friend and fellow Amaron operator, and looked and watched that, and everybody was just all in an uproar. Oh, this it's total eclipse. It's going to mean something. Well, here we are 7 years later, and another one is crossing the same path. Now, what's interesting is the one in 2017, 7 years ago, crossed Salem, which means peace, Salem, Jerusalem. Several towns across the United States were in its path with names like Salem or Jerusalem or something similar, something meaning peace. And now this time, it's crossing from Mexico northeasterly, and it will exit the North American continent from Nova Scotia. So tomorrow about 9 p.m. Pacific time until about 1 or 1:30, 1:45 Pacific time, 4:30, 4:45 Eastern, it will exit the United States. Now, what's interesting is where they cross, there is there are several significant names, but in particular, there are, depending on who you listen to, 6 to 8 towns that this will cross over named Nineveh. So Nineveh was a town that Jonah, we all know the story, Jonah went and warned them to repent. And if they did not repent, they said, this place will be wiped out. This place will be wiped out in 40 days. And so they repented. They repented, and then 40 days came and went, and nothing happened. Now, about 100 years later, they went back to their violence and debauchery and everything else, and they were wiped out. They were overtaken by their enemies. So this has a lot of pastors, biblical scholars, end times people that are looking at this and thinking, could this be a sign? And since we have so many other danger signs going on with even the FBI, believe it or not, warning us about terrorist, ISIS, Hamas-type attacks in the West and the United States, it's very plausible that we could be really facing some very difficult times in the near future. So is this a warning? I don't know. God's ways are higher than our ways. We don't know until afterward. Many times then we can look back and see how he had his hand over things, how he orchestrated things. But I think it is worth heeding the warning. And of course, what was the warning? To repent. So I know across the Christian community, a lot of people are praying for repentance for our country right now, because this could be a sign. That's why God put the sun and moon and stars in the sky. It was one of the reasons was for signs. Could this be a sign? I don't know, but it seems pretty darn coincidental that 7 years ago, Salem, peace, shalom, Jerusalem, different towns like that across America were right in the path of the total eclipse. This time around, 7 years later, it's crossing over all these towns named Nineveh. And so we'll see. Now, here's something interesting to note. The last time that we had two total eclipses, place an X over the United States, 3 months later in 1811, the first one was in 1806, I believe. The next one was in 1811, the one that made the cross. 3 months after that 1811 solar eclipse, there was a massive catastrophic earthquake in the United States. The New Madrid fault line, which is in the central part of the United States. Geologists say that some of the mountains around the Appalachians were formed from that. It was such a powerful earthquake. And it was felt as far as Boston, and it rang the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. And this was, the epicenter was somewhere, Missouri, Ohio, somewhere in there. And so it was a massive, massive earthquake. So very interesting with the Jerusalem or Salem, Shalem, peace, 7 years ago. Then this time, Nineveh looks like potentially a warning. Something else to note, too, is interesting that at the time, the Ninevites, one of the main gods that they worshipped was a fish god. So here's this prophet showing up who had just been spit out of a fish and warning them to repent. On top of that, while he was there, it was the same year that they know what year he was in. I think it was 732 BC. Because the archives show that he went to Nineveh while so-and-so was king. Well, they know from records the king was on the throne during this time period, which is about 732 or 733 BC. And there was a total solar eclipse over Nineveh in 733. So a lot of biblical scholars, students of history, biblical history, they speculate that that's one of the things that could have happened when Jonah went to when he went to Nineveh, because the example that I use when someone asked, you know, how do we know that the total eclipse happened when Jonah was there? And my answer is this would be for him to walk into Nineveh and tell them to repent, and then they do, would be equivalent to Kyle Rittenhouse walking into Portland, Oregon, telling them they all have to repent, and then they do. Antifa, Black Lives Matter, everybody just totally repents and gives praise to God. And I mean, this is that monumental of, that was that degraded of a culture in Nineveh. It was known for it. So what would make a violent, corrupt, brutal people instantly repent on eight words that he said, and that's all it took? And the king led the way on repenting, tore his clothes, demanded that everybody fast and pray, and God staved off this destruction that was headed for Nineveh in 40 days. So it's very plausible that a total solar eclipse could have also happened at the same time or right around the same time that he appeared in Nineveh, because they were, for lack of a better term, very superstitious people. They believed very strongly in solar eclipses being a sign of an omen of danger and destruction coming. So it would explain very well what would make a people like that repent from, especially a Hebrew walking into Nineveh, telling them that they have to repent. Otherwise, they would have ripped into shreds. So they didn't. Very interesting. So we're watching this. There are a few other things that are happening. There's several things that are happening, actually. CERN over in Switzerland, which is a Hadron Collider, they're firing it up tomorrow. And I guess it's like a week-long process to try to collide these Hadron Collider things, trying to open up a wormhole or finding dark matter and studying it and opening up potentially a wormhole that could open up a gateway to other dimensions. And this is what the scientists are actually speculating, that they're hoping they might be able to accomplish and measure it. So they're firing that up tomorrow. Also, NASA is firing at least two, I think maybe three rockets into space during the solar eclipse so they can measure the effects of that. And the name of their operation is named after a serpent god from Egypt that swallowed the sun. So a lot of really strange things are going on right there. I think it's worth paying attention to. Do I think anything could happen tomorrow? No, I really don't expect it. If anything comes of this, I'm more inclined to think this is more of like a warning. And then at some point afterward, like the 3 month later, massive catastrophic earthquake after the last time we had a solar eclipse making an X across the United States, that I think then the fuse is lit. I think then it's a ticking time bomb. And like I said, we're ripe for just invasion by foreigners, if nothing else, between what I've been talking about for a long time, operatives from the Chinese Communist Party coming in here by the tens of thousands. And then all of a sudden, also the sleeper cells among the Hezbollah, ISIS, all the other jihad groups waiting for that green light for them to go operational. So that could be what this means. We've also seen a lot of earthquakes pop up recently, mostly Taiwan, Japan, and we just had one in New York, that took a lot of people by surprise. And so we're seeing a lot more seismic activity than usual in places where we don't always see it or see it as much. So this is on the forefront of a lot of people's minds. I think it would be a good time to, since people are thinking earthquakes, it'd be a good time to revisit our Mercalli scale reporting system for our Amaron operators, which is in our SOI. So we'll revisit that very soon here. So one thing that could happen, and this is kind of concerning, when the FBI, Department of Justice, who are helping to facilitate this invasion, who have been essentially weaponized against conservative patriot Americans, are warning us now. Now they're on our side, looking out for us, warning us of the highest indicators of terrorist activity. And they're very concerned because all of the crowds gathering for this solar eclipse. So could anything happen because of the solar eclipse? I don't think so, but the crowds that are gathered could entice some of these opportunistic jihadi groups to carry out attacks where there's large groups of people gathered all across the country. So that's a possibility. Personally, I'm more for avoiding crowds, especially in this day and age. And if you do go out, go armed everywhere. So anyway, we'll just have to watch and see on that. But I've got an audio clip here from CC, or what is it? 444C News. And this came from Breaking News on Police Frequency. So I'm going to share this with you. And they're basically covering this warning from the FBI about the heightened risk for terrorist attacks. Listen to this.
Warning right here in the U.S. from the FBI and Homeland Security. Warning of potential threats to public gatherings. The timing of this and why they're concerned tonight. Here's our Chief Justice correspondent, Pierre Thomas, with late reporting.
Tonight, FBI and Homeland Security officials are warning U.S. law enforcement about the potential for terror inspired by that deadly ISIS attack in Moscow targeting a concert hall. The concern, according to the bulletin, violence targeting mass gatherings such as sports stadiums, concert venues, or houses of worship in the United States. Law enforcement told to be on the lookout for any suspicious activity. The bulletin coming just days before millions will gather to watch the eclipse on Monday. Authorities say following the Moscow attack, ISIS and its supporters celebrated the assault and shared graphic and violent attack footage, the terror group calling for similar attacks in the United States.
I'm told U.S. law enforcement is being urged to take this bulletin seriously. Sources say ISIS remains a very real threat.
Security warning, right?
Yeah, so I'm sorry, that just doesn't give me all kinds of warm and fuzzies coming from those guys, especially because, you know, between warning of cyber attack, coming pandemic, they have a tendency to point to where the next problem is, almost like they have this crystal ball, isn't it? So anyway, we've been saying it, use extra caution. And if this is a supernatural higher forces type of an event, and it is a warning for potential destruction, then we're on borrowed time. So then, like I said, the fuse is lit. So this, we top off batteries, we top off our fuel, we top off supplies, we remain a heightened level of vigilance for a number of reasons. Oh, by the way, on the note of that video you just listened to, the audio of, reporter Colin Rugg on his Twitter account said, this warning is similar to the one U.S. officials gave in Russia on March 7th, warning U.S. citizens to stay away from large gatherings for 48 hours due to imminent plans from extremists. Now, real quick, I want to get into that. Speaking of 48-hour windows and 48-hour warnings, Israeli and U.S. intelligence are saying that there is a very high probability that Iran will carry out a significant attack in the next 24 to 48 hours or sometime this week. And I've gotten some updates from Amir Sarfati. The U.S. enters combat readiness phase. America and Israel are preparing for a significant Iranian attack on Israel next week. That's this coming week. CNN reports, not that we usually quote CNN, but they're not the only ones saying this. Actually, that's just from the notes that I copied and pasted in. There are numerous outlets that are pointing to that. But this is from Amir Sarfati. He says, there are possibly four possible scenarios as reported on an Iranian website for Iran's retaliation for Israel's strike in Damascus on Iran's consulate, which is part of the compound of their embassy. They took out some high-level generals that were spearheading a lot of the terrorist activity and missile strikes on Israel, and Israel had enough. Actually, I think they've been long-suffering and very patient, but there was some impetus for them deciding, we got to take these guys out now. So something big was brewing. Israelis acted. So four possible scenarios as reported on an Iranian website. Number one, Iran, relying on its missile and drone capabilities, attacks military targets or infrastructure in Israel for retaliatory attacks, and in the process will demonstrate its missile power and deterrence capability against the region at the regional and international level. Possible option number two, Iran targets one of the diplomatic centers in one of the countries of the region, since Israel attacked the Iranian consulate in Syria, thereby gives an equal response. Third possible response, Iran will carry out specific attacks on Israel's bases and security centers while relying on the operational power and drones of its allied regional groups, and in fact will respond indirectly to Israel. And number four, Iran does not react quickly and decisively as many expect, instead adopting a policy of patience and strategic ambiguity and a war of psychological attrition. After that, continuous attacks by its proxy groups and taking advantage of this opportunity to harm the commercial capacity of Israel's ports. Each of these scenarios has its own consequences and advantages, and the decision makers in the country should choose from among all the options before them that show Iran's deterrent power and satisfy public opinion. So it definitely looks like they're going to move. Now, what's interesting, though, is the United States may potentially be directly involved. Now, Iran is a Russian ally. Russia also has troops on the ground in Syria, in fact, in the Golan area. And this at the time when now we've got a couple other countries coming on board joining NATO. And then Blinken, Antony Blinken, stating over in Europe this week that definitively Ukraine will become part of NATO. So things aren't looking good out there, unfortunately. People are making some decisions that we could all pay the price for. And unfortunately, we can't do anything about it. We're strapped to a train. Watching this president in this office and this regime in the White House, it feels like being strapped to a chair in a room with a toddler with a loaded gun. And all you can do is watch. So we can take care of our own, continue to work on getting our comms up, keeping our comms up, maintaining that. It's a very high probability in a major catastrophic event, we would lose commercial conventional communications. And the only way for us to share information is unconventional communications. So beside your personal logistics for your family, your security plans, and so on, continue to be working on and improving your communications plans. So it looks like we may be needing them probably before the summer's over, if not much sooner. All right, so with that, we will go ahead and take a break and come back with segment two, Lady Liberty joining me in the studio. So stick around. This is the voice of the American Redoubt, Radio Free Redoubt. Stay right there.
One podcast dares to be different.
This is the final battle. With you at my side, we will demolish the deep state. We will expel the warmongers from our government. We will drive out the globalists. We will cast out the communists, Marxists, and fascists. We will throw off the sick political class that hates our country. We will rout the fake news media, and we will liberate America from these villains once and for all.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder. Select your preferred carry style and order your holster today.
Welcome back, Patriots, to segment two of Radio Free Redoubt, episode 24-07. And we are in segment two of a two-segment show tonight, and I got Lady Liberty in the studio with me. Good evening, Lady Liberty.
Well, good evening, and good evening, everyone out there.
It's were you able to listen to much of segment one?
No, I wasn't, actually.
Yeah, well, a lot of it's stuff that we already discussed we're going to be covering tomorrow morning for the morning commute. The eclipse, some of the stuff going on with Israel, pretty wild times that we're living in.
Boy, and, no kidding. My gosh.
So, you know, the eclipse may or may not mean anything. I don't know, but I think that the times right now we should be discerning. We shouldn't just blow it off and, you know, not take it seriously.
Well, I would say that it would be very worldly of us to not take it seriously.
Agreed.
You know, there is there's the whole worldly element out there that has little to nothing to do with God, even Christians.
Right.
You know, they people who will say that they're Christians, but they're so far from Him that even understanding what the X across the United States even means, or that we're even in the process of judgment right now.
Right.
And that, you know, it doesn't just come from nowhere. This is, you know, anybody that reads their Bible and actually studies what the scriptures say can see this repeated pattern throughout biblical history.
Yeah.
And just the fact that we're in the same exact boat as multiple different stories in the Bible.
Well,
here we are in the middle of egregious sin, allowing things to happen in this nation that make Sodom and Gomorrah look pretty good.
Right.
You know, and so to even be of the mindset that it doesn't mean anything, it's just another eclipse, that's called being completely out of touch with the Lord.
Well, this is why you and I have just been shaking our heads at some of the random word of the day scriptures that we've seen over the last few years, where it's like describing America,
right,
and including the people's attitudes. God won't judge us.
Right.
Right. And it's like, He wouldn't do that to us. And then all the prophets that tell everybody what they want to hear, nothing's going to happen. You're all going to be good. You're going to be prosperous. And right, the Lord's like, oh no, oh no. And then He sends in His prophet and says, no, you are going to be laid waste.
Exactly.
And
and those prophets in the Bible are never popular. I mean, like Jeremiah,
right,
who had, he had the word of the Lord of truth with him, and the people did not want to hear what he had to say.
Right.
And they rejected him for 20 years. A lot of people don't realize that. They think that, you know, if there's a prophet in the Bible that they're upheld and respected and honored, and that just was not the case.
By us.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You know,
by
looking
the future,
back.
By future generations, absolutely. But the people of the time rejected them.
Right,
and,
that's
and
right.
They wanted, they sought out false prophets who would tell them nothing but good stuff. You know,
yes.
And that's exactly, you know, what the people are like today, that just go to church for, you know, 45 minutes on Sunday, and then the whole rest of the week is just, you know, they're not in touch with God, they aren't
right
in prayer, they're not asking for any kind of, you know, forgiveness for daily issues and problems, you know. And,
yeah.
And
well,
so,
and also coming from pastors themselves saying, oh, that was for Israel. That's not a message for America, you know. And
oh, nothing could be further from the truth. We're all human beings, and we are all supposed to, well, we're all called to have a relationship with God, and so not just a relationship, but we're supposed to love Him with all our hearts, minds, might, and souls.
Yes.
And so for us to have God on some distant, far back burner while we are focused on nothing but the world means that we are almost enemies of the Lord if you're that far into the world and so far away from God.
Right.
And even if you believe in Him, why on earth would you not be studying his word? You know, and so, you know, especially at times like this where there needs to be a very, very distinct dividing line between white and black, where what we're seeing is horrific sin, just rampant horrific sin that is going unchecked and causing some very, very severe problems to the most innocent of, you know, of the whole world.
Yeah.
You know, the children, the child trafficking that are being kidnapped. They're being, you know, I can go through a whole horrific list of things that are happening to them. And it's happening as a number one source here in America, in right. our country. And to think that God will stand for that, that's absolutely unbelievable.
That's not even getting into what they're doing to children with this transitioning thing, with the whole
exactly.
transgender yep, right. tranny.
It's all aimed at the kids.
Oh, they're mutilating them. Yep. They're just absolutely, yep. it's atrocious. So, yeah, you know, I don't want to see it, but, you know, it's getting worse, so bring it. It's kind of the way I'm looking at it.
Well, and that's the problem, too, is that here's where, you know, like Nineveh, like all the other countries that have been in egregious sin, God gives them the opportunity to repent. He gives them yeah. a very, very long time to repent. And if they don't do that in such and such a time, they're destroyed. They're completely wiped out by their enemies. Some into oblivion, to where not even the grass will grow there ever again. You know, right. I mean, like look at Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
That's the exact example of egregious sin that has been judged by God.
Yeah, and I would warn people not to slip into this apathy state, because I understand since Y2K, the end of the world was coming, right?
Right.
I mean, there's like economic collapse, the zombie apocalypse, and it almost kind of numbs people to the sensitivity of when something real is coming, they are much quicker to dismiss it because they've heard so much fear-mongering, you know, the sky's right. falling. And this is something that I think we should definitely pay very close attention to.
Oh, absolutely. I you know, you and I held Repent Event Week because we're taking this absolutely seriously, where
yeah.
we did some thorough heart rending and repenting, because, you know, even though you and I have stood for many, many years, over decades, in fact, fighting what was coming, fighting all
right.
of this communist takeover that was coming down the pike, right? And fighting it to the best of our ability pretty much all the time. And so the fact that we fought it off and it's still here, you know, we're still part of the same society that is going to be judged. And so when we are called by his name and we are called to turn from our wicked ways, you know, we have stood for what is right. But, you know, whatever else have we done that hasn't been correct that we need to repent of,
right?
You know, because according to the Lord, we're all filthy, blind, naked, and, you know, pretty much right next to awful, you
yeah.
know, and that's how we're viewed in comparison to him, in comparison to anything that's holy, as well as the kingdom, right?
Right.
You know, if you could imagine the kingdom being walking into this white marble house lined with gold, and there's nothing but white fluffy carpets and white furniture, right? And you come in with your street shoes and your dirty jeans and a t-shirt or whatever,
yeah.
and you come in there, oh my gosh, wow, you better check yourself. Clean yourself up and don't set foot into that white house until you've gotten yourself all cleaned up.
Right.
Because that's essentially how we look to God all the time. Filthy,
right.
blind, and naked, right? And so when we're approaching what we might need to consider in ourselves that is needed, that needs repentance, you know, it's those things that he says, you being evil, give good gifts to your children, right? You know, just
right.
that statement, you being evil, and everybody's always incensed, like, what? I'm not evil. Oh, look at, here I am. I'm trying to give a great gift to my son or whatever.
Yes.
You know, he says, no, you being evil, give good gifts. And so even though you might not be directly harming somebody or directly sinning, we still behave in a manner with dirty clothes compared to the whiteness of his kingdom.
That's right.
You know, and so there's always plenty for each of us to repent of in our wickedness, in our evilness that we aren't even really aware of because this is the world we live in.
Well,
we are all part of that.
Now's the time to check ourselves, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. So now you wanted to give some updates here. So
that's
right. I want to make sure it's got a few minutes left. So what do we got?
Well, okay. So as far as campaign updates, it's been interesting, and we've been having a lot of fun. Actually, we did our first MAGA Patriot outreach meet and greet,
yes,
where we went across three counties, and we started in Ritzville in Adams County, and then we went to Sprague in Lincoln County, and then we went to Medical Lake in Spokane County. And so what was really exciting was the people in Ritzville were just, they were amazing. They went all out for me over there.
Yeah.
They there was a couple of people that spearheaded the effort, and they were going in front of grocery stores and handing out my flyers, and they were,
yep,
they were going door to door. They were handing out flyers to everybody that they talked to and met. And so when we got to Ritzville, there was, granted, that was a cold day.
Yes.
But we were pleased to see that there are quite a few veterans there to greet us. I gave a 50-minute speech,
mm-hmm,
and they all sat through and listened to all of it, and which was nice considering how darn cold it was out there.
It was windy. You know?
They all left with my books and my signs and were donating, and so that was very positive. And then Sprague was a very, very small, very quiet town.
Yeah.
Well, we had a few people stop by as well, and we, yep, also had some of our listeners from the morning commute come by and join us to just offer support and stand on the sidewalk holding signs and cheering with us, and so we got to talk to a few people there and hand out signs and information. And then we went on to Medical Lake, where we met with a fantastic group, like-minded people, I'd have to say.
Yes.
This was the group called We the People.
Yeah.
And so that was very, very positive.
They're
pretty
connected people too.
Yeah, very much so. Very, very biblical and very committed to the Lord. And
yep,
so they were truly like birds of a feather. And they had a very interesting statement. They said, so you know that Medical Lake is where Terry Cooper, one of my
opponents
is from. She's the mayor in Medical Lake. And they said, well, and so why did you pick Medical Lake? And kind of like, that's pretty confrontational. I was like, well, I'm sorry, but honestly, I'm the only one qualified for this job. So
yep,
it doesn't really matter. And I'm here to share the reason why I'm running and why I'm qualified and the others are not.
Yep.
And so it was still very positive and turned out really well. And so then, of course, we've been to a few things after that. We went to the PCO question and answer forum for the Spokane, mm-hmm, GOP. That went very well. That was super exciting. Actually, we were swamped for three solid hours, yep, that night.
All the candidates from multiple different positions had their tables and signs and everything set up around this large room where people from the public could just come in and go make their rounds and meet the candidates.
That's right.
Amazing. Yeah. And you won a lot of people over.
Yep.
And
a lot of our signs went out, and sold all my books. Gave out bumper stickers, took in quite a few donations, and we just had a really great time talking to people, and one guy in fact was a relative of the people that I'm running against, and he said, well, I'm not voting for her, I'm voting for you, and I want you to know that.
Nice. He told other people too.
Yep.
We had other people come up saying, hey, we're voting for Renee Holiday, and We have a friend who's a relative of this other candidate, and he said he's voting for Renee Holiday and told us to, so we're going to. Yeah, and they left. It turns out that we know them. Well, they also have a radio show. And
That group. There's so many. I mean, there's so many that whole night. It was a steady flow.
It was a whirlwind.
Yep. Yeah. That's right. But so that was exciting. And then of course we did the Spokane GOP vetting process, and that went very well. I think that describing to them why being a UN expert at this time is crucial.
Yes.
As, you know, for a federal position where I would be acting at the national and international level, it is critical for somebody that, you know, is a UN expert that knows the enemy, that knows how they operate,
right,
that knows how to defeat them,
yep,
and what to do about all of their illegal actions. There's nobody out there that qualifies in that kind of realm like I do.
That's right.
And plus the fact that I'm willing to fight, and not only just fight, but I fight and win, and I'm fearless, and I love it. And so, you know, the fact that that's the combination for right now, when this era is, you know, where the nation is at a critical juncture of truly being lost forever.
Yes.
If we don't have some very, very serious diehard fighters in there.
Yep.
And that's always been my own description, is I'm a diehard.
Yes.
I don't give up. I don't give up until I win. And so, you know, that's the kind of attitude this country needs right now. And so I was describing this to the vetting committee, saying that, you know, there's 12 other candidates beside myself just in the Republican side,
yes,
right? And I said, you know, get any one of those people in there after I'm done cleaning house.
Right.
You know, because I don't want to, first of all, I don't want to be there very long. I want to be there long enough to get the job done and clean house and get things straightened back up to where this nation is back on its feet and not getting ready to be just completely flushed down the toilet.
Right.
And so, you know, once I've had a chance to go in there and do some major cleaning house, where we both, first of all, pull people together to organize, figure out how to fight, because I know how to fight. I can convey all of that to them, how to beat the communists, right?
Right.
At their own thing. That is my forte. And I can teach others how to do that, pull people together, pull lots of groups together so that we've got a huge working network and actually get something done and lead an offensive that's actually effective. And so I was telling the vetting committee that if you guys fail to get somebody, not just somebody, but if you fail to get me in there in this critical area when I'm the only person right for the fight, it would be a severe mistake,
yep,
for Eastern Washington to send anybody but me right now.
That's true. I have to say it's true, just because I know you, and you know, I've seen the work that you've done over the last 15 years.
18 years.
Well, I mean, I got to see probably, I think I met you 15 years ago.
Right.
It's at a Patriot event. And impressive. Matter of fact, I think that's when I did the first interview with you.
Right. It was shortly after my book.
Right.
Yep.
It was covering your book. So maybe 12 years ago. But since then, I've gotten to watch you go through the property rights fight, the Liberty State, Constitution drafting, working with the legislature in Olympia, legislative aid. I mean, I've actually got to see you. I'm like, now I know what you're made of. And so now it's a matter of getting the other people to know what you're made of who don't know yet.
That's
and,
right.
And a lot of people do, but there are, you know, a lot of people don't. So that's going to be the biggest thing. But when they do, I mean, it doesn't take long for somebody to be talking to you before they realize, okay, I need one of your signs to put in my yard. You know, I mean, after talking to other candidates, when they're done talking to you, they're like, okay, I know who I'm voting for.
Right.
Now I just need to multiply that.
Right.
You know.
Right. Yeah. It's all about exposure, but it's not only just that. We're coming up against some very serious political shenanigans. You know, like where I'm not being invited by entire counties to their Lincoln Day dinner because, they can figure out some reason to not invite me. And I, you know, and so there's those kind of things. And then there's other things about like being run around the pole and people saying, oh, we thought you weren't going to be able to make it, so we didn't set up a table, you know, blah, blah, blah. This kind of stuff where they're already trying to pick the candidates. And that's another super shady thing that is going on right now with the state Republican Party, where they're trying to do this pledge, this signed pledge agreement, where they're trying to get the candidates running for Congress to say that whoever the party picks at the state convention, that all the other candidates will just drop out and quit because endorse the state's choice. And so, wow, nothing communist sounding about that, is there? You know, don't let the people pick the person they want. Make sure the state picks them for them.
Right. The GOP, yeah, full of rhinos of all people. Yeah,
exactly. And
no,
so
I don't think so.
That was one of the questions that they asked in the vetting process. Would, you know, so about this pledge, would you be willing to, you know, if we pick somebody other than you, would you be willing to endorse that person and drop out? And I said, oh, absolutely not.
That's right.
I said, if you guys want to weed out all the creepy candidates, hold a public debate like we always have through history.
Exactly.
You know, that's how you find out who people are, what they're made of, what they're about. And so, you know, I was not one bit polite about that. I think that was almost like insulting that they would even.
It's offensive to even ask that.
That's right.
Not even going to happen. Well, those are great updates. Awesome. And we'll be bringing more. So check out the website. It's updated. There's now links to donate, links to volunteer, adding videos, embedding the videos. Those are all going to be updated this week. So we'll be checking back at ReneeHolidayForCongress.com. That's R-E-N-E, Holiday with an A, H-O-L-A-D-A-Y. ReneeHolidayForCongress.com.
There you go. Right. Yep.
All right. So, thanks for the updates.
Yep. You're welcome. It's been exciting.
That's right. All right. Well, you guys join us every morning, 7 a.m. Pacific time, right here. Be safe out there. Don't stare at the eclipse without proper eye protection. We'll talk to you next Sunday night. You guys be safe. God bless. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.